Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
So over the past decade or so, calls for a minimum wage system in Singapore have not gone away. A lot of public debates have been reignited every now and then. In recent weeks, due to the COVID-19 situation and the backdrop of the elections, the proposal has been brought up by some Singaporeans rethinking the value and role of low-wage workers in essential services. Despite the government's repeatedly making clear its stance on the issue, arguing that having such a system would adversely affect the Singapore economy's competitiveness. According to Minister for Manpower Josephine Teo, Singapore's progressive wage model is better than having a minimum wage or living wage, as it provides a way for people to move up. Senior Minister Tharman Shanmugaratnam has also highlighted that the progressive wage model that we have right now is working, allowing the bottom 20th percentile of the income ladder to see their wages increase by nearly 40% in real terms over the past decade. So you're talking from 1,500 a month to 2,500 a month in that sense. This does not include the workfare and special employment credits which the government gives to older low-wage workers, by the way. But with this topic coming back into the spotlight, will we ever see something like a minimum wage policy in Singapore? To weigh in on this, on the line right now is Vikram Khanna, Associate Editor, The Straits Times. Vikram, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Elliot. I'm good. I hope you're well too.
I am, sir. Thank you so much for taking the time. What a topic, this one. Minimum wage in Singapore. The debate goes on and on. But to qualify things to start us off, I mean, what exactly is minimum wage? I mean, how can you calculate a minimum wage?
It's quite simple, really, at least the conceptual definition. It's basically the lowest wage that employers can legally pay their workers. It's a kind of floor price below which wages are not legally allowed to go. That's basically what it is. Calculating it is a little more complicated. I mean, I think you have to arrive at some kind of estimate of what a living wage would be, what the minimum living wage would be, how much it costs, basically, to buy your essential goods and services. So that's a little complicated. But conceptually, it's not a difficult thing to define.
Fair enough. I have read some manifestos with regard to elections, and I think the amount that's being suggested is something like 1,300. Correct me if I'm wrong, though, but is that a realistic a number?
Well, I believe that's the Workers' Party proposal, 1,300 a month, and prorated for part-time work, which works out to just about $5.50 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's pretty low. I mean, it's probably barely borderline living wage.
Mm.
The Reform Party has proposed a $10 an hour minimum wage,
right,
which is more generous, but I'm not sure that it would have the buy-in of the business community. So in that sense, it's probably not realistic.
Okay. If we were to talk about comments on how, you know, the Singapore government talking about how having such a system would adversely affect the economy's competitiveness, I mean, are you able to look at perhaps the advantages and disadvantages of having a minimum wage system here in Singapore?
Yeah, well, it's a pretty long list on both sides. I mean, as you mentioned, I mean, economists are sharply divided on this, and
yeah,
the proponents have come out with the advantages, and the opponents have come out with the disadvantages. And let's just go through the list. I mean, among the claimed advantages is one, of course, that it will reduce poverty and inequality. Right, that's pretty obvious.
Mm.
Second is that it would increase household spending, which would benefit the economy. Although wage supplements would achieve the same thing. The third is that it could reduce employee turnover, right? Because employees feel more secure, and it would better enable employers to retain staff and train them and so on. Fourth is it would incentivize companies to speed up automation to avoid having to pay the minimum wage.
I see. Okay.
But that's a medium-term benefit. And the fifth, it would lower the cost of other social programs, such as the workfare income supplement, right? If you have a minimum wage, you would not need to pay those supplements as much as you do. And then finally, it would encourage maybe more people to join the workforce, perhaps more women in particular, right? So those are the pluses. On the minus side, I mean, it's an equally long list. The biggest disadvantage claimed by the opponents is that it would run the risk of increasing unemployment, because some companies may not be able to afford to pay the minimum wage. Second, the problem is it's a one-size-fits-all solution, right? It's the same way that applies to all sectors,
mm-hmm,
whereas some sectors may be more hard-pressed than others. is certainly true at this time in this pandemic. Third, it would favor big companies and be tough on SMEs. SMEs, you know, while big companies might be easily able to afford a minimum wage, some SMEs might not. So it would be discriminatory between companies by size. And then in the context of a large foreign workforce, which applies in the case of Singapore, it could lead to some problems. So, for example, if the minimum wage only applies to citizens, then companies would be incentivized to hire non-citizens, including for remote work, right? Even some white-collar jobs. White-collar jobs could move abroad. So this is less of a problem for countries with few or no foreigners in the workforce, but it is an issue for Singapore. And finally, the opponents claim that a minimum wage may cause costs and prices to rise as companies pass on higher wage costs to customers. So there are both pluses and minuses, and there are, I suppose, plausible arguments on both sides.
Yeah, it's curious because I was paying attention to your last three points on the negatives of minimum wage, and I seem to, well, I think it fits into where these comments coming from, saying that, you know, it will affect Singapore economy's competitiveness in that sense. But you've got other countries that seem to do okay. Is there something we're missing here?
Well, personally, I don't think over the long run. I think I'd rather frame the question as how would Singapore's competitiveness be affected by low-wage earners earning more than they do now? Right. There are ways to achieve the same result without a minimum wage. Okay. The short answer is that I don't think over the long run Singapore's competitiveness would be hurt if low-wage earners earned more. Because competitiveness is not based on cheap labor in Singapore, right? We've gone way past that stage. There are many things that define competitiveness: political stability, institutions, the rule of law, infrastructure, technological sophistication, all these things. Mm-hmm. Higher wages for low-wage workers might, in fact, improve competitiveness over time by encouraging more automation. It may also, you know, reduce inequality, which would be good for the economy and for social cohesion. So you're right. I mean, there are countries that have minimum wage, which hasn't compromised their competitiveness.
Right. I want to turn our attention to the progressive wage model that we have here in Singapore. It's obviously different from the minimum wage policy. But in your opinion, Vikram, is it working better for our economy here in Singapore? Is it fair to even ask that question?
Well, it's fair to ask the question, but it's still early days. You know, the progressive wage model has been limited only so far to three types of jobs: cleaners, security guards, and landscape workers. So the evidence so far seems to be that it is working. So, for example, I mean, the government has put out that between 2014 and 2019, incomes for these groups increased by 26 to 36%. And that's a pretty good start. It's benefited something like 80,000 workers so far. But on the other hand, you know, it's there are a lot of sectors that it still doesn't cover. So it's a long way to go.
All this debate really starts to come up again because of the COVID-19 situation. In a way, it's made the topic even more relevant than ever to talk about essential, what's non-essential, criticism of people's opinions of what's essential and non-essential. Do you think that this will go some way in changing the government's stance on minimum wage or even perhaps improving this progressive wage model if there are gaps that need to be filled?
Okay, well, as far as the impact of the pandemic is concerned, I think the biggest priority during the pandemic is job creation. So to the extent that the minimum wage policy runs the risk of discouraging job creation by reducing hiring and increasing the chances of retrenchments, I think it probably is taking a back seat for now. As to whether the pandemic will change the government's stand on the minimum wage policy, it doesn't look like it. I mean, there's already a progressive wage model in place, which, as you said, has worked well so far. Mm-hmm. And my own view is that while we should never say never, meaning we should not rule out a minimum wage, but I think it would be better to have other social safety nets in place, like unemployment insurance, before we go for the minimum wage, because there is a danger of unemployment rising.
Right.
And meanwhile, we should give the progressive wage model a chance and see how well it works in other sectors.
Fair point. But you can't help but, you know, as a regular voter and whatnot, and I'm not going to try to get too much of an opinion out of this, but you can't help but associate minimum wage and inequality gap. I mean, in your opinion and what you're seeing on the ground as well, how big an issue is this on the minds of voters going into elections on Friday?
Oh, man, there are so many issues in this election.
I mean,
first and foremost, the jobs front and center. That's the biggest issue. Then there's health, there's education, there's housing, there's GST, there's population, there's having alternate voices in parliament. You know, I'm not sure how high on this list the minimum wage policy would be among voters' concerns, right?
Yeah.
I personally don't think it's a top priority right now. I think the top priority is job creation and job protection. And nevertheless, that said, I mean, even after the election, I think the minimum wage policy deserves to continue being discussed because it has some merit. And maybe one day its time will come.
Fair point. The discussion and the debate continues. I've been speaking with Vikram Khanna, Associate Editor at The Straits Times. Thank you, sir, for taking the time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you. You too.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.